Reading Sefer Tehillim, this is Shir number 75. We are using the commentary by Me'am Loez. May the learning of Torah be a merit for myself, yourself, for listening to this tape or CD, or for listening to any of our over 500 Torah lectures online at EnglishTorahTapes.com, or may the learning of Torah be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs and Shimon and Hinda Manila of blessed memory. We are holding in chapter 145, Pasuk 1. A praise of David, I will exalt you, my God the King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. The present psalm is the only one to begin with the words a praise, for it contains not a single request or petition, but is entirely praise and acclaim of Hashem, blessed be He. For this reason, it was incorporated into the Pesukei de Zimra, the verses of the songs of praise that are recited prior to the Shema. It is the most sublime of all psalms, containing praise and acclaim of Hashem's kindness, since His wondrous acts and His activities within the pattern of nature. The final six psalms of the Book of Tehillim are all a praise of Hashem's name and His acclaim. They begin with praise and conclude with praise. Hence, the final five psalms commence with Hallelujah, praise Hashem, and conclude with Hallelujah, praise Hashem. This is, in effect, amplifies the praise. The great praise of Hashem, indicated in these final psalms, will be uttered at the ingathering of the exiles, when the entire people of Israel will behold the wonders that He performs for them. For this reason, the singer mentions the ingathering of the exiles and rebuilding of Yerushalayim. Because the present psalm in its entirety is a praise of Hashem, David composed its verses in alphabetical order. Close examination reveals that it depicts the wonders of the Creator in the judgment of His creatures. Accordingly, our sages teach that one who recites the present psalm three times daily is assured of being a son of the world to come. This does not mean that one is merely to recite it. It calls for contemplation and investigation of the works of Hashem and for praise of Him, His greatness and splendor. Thereby is the person invested with awe and fear of Hashem. One should recite the psalm three times daily, for anything done three times establishes its status, Hazakah. It is presumed that as a result, the person will remain totally righteous all his life, and hence be assured of a portion in the world to come. Reciting this psalm three times daily corresponds to an ancient practice. Men of devout piety would remain in the shul 3 hours, 1 hour in preparation for prayer, 1 hour in prayer, the Shemone Esrei, and 1 hour following prayers. Another reason is that the present psalm, the prayer Ashrei, contains 150 words, and three times that comes to a total of 450 words. The numerical equivalent of the word Tehillah is 450. Ashrei is recited three times daily, the same number of times as the Shemone Esrei. Thus the person fulfills the main aim of prayer, which is to recognize and acknowledge that man is simply like a servant receiving his numeration from his master. If a person truly believes that everything stems from Hashem, he will feel no envy of others and be content. As it says earlier, happy is the people who have it so. That is to say, one is content in every situation, enjoys another's well-being, and does not envy him. Having said earlier, happy is the people who have it so, happy is the people whose God is Hashem. The singer says here a praise of David, I will exalt you, my God, the King. Thus Israel should need no king. As Shmuel said, Hashem, your God, is your King. A pasuk that's found in Shmuel Aleph. I will exalt you, my King, my God, the King. I will relate your transcendence and your eminence. For you are my God, and you are King over the whole world. I will thus bless your name forever and ever. I will acclaim your name and your fame. Depict the might of your greatness until your true eminence becomes known to everyone. I will exalt you in my heart and in speech that you are the King in truth. I will make it known that all other kings below and on high are under your dominion, and you are high over them. I will bless you forever and ever all the days of my life. Our sages teach, why is the letter Nun, a pasuk beginning with this letter, missing in Ashrei? For such a pasuk could allude to the downfall of Israel, as it says, Nafla v'lo sosif kum b'sulas Yisrael. The virgin Israel has fallen and she shall rise no more, a pasuk that's found in Amos. However, speaking by divine inspiration, David has provided a proper pasuk to the contrary. Hashem upholds all the fallen. A subtle interpretation of this pasuk says, so long as the Jewish people cleave to Hashem, no enemy, however vastly superior numbers, will ever vanquish them in war. Pasuk 2. B'chol yom avrochecha v'halalo shimcho l'olam v'ed. Every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever. Having said, and I will bless your name forever and ever, the singer now explains how often he will bless, for forever and ever could even mean once a week. Thus it says, always about the showbread, Nechumish Bamidbor. And there it means from one Shabbos to the next. Accordingly, he says here, every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Not a day will pass that I will not praise and extol your name. This blessing is renewed daily, for Hashem renews daily the works of the original creation, and brings down a new blessing. Therefore I will praise your name forever and ever on account of the blessing that flows for us. Some say, every day I will bless you in this world and I will praise your name in the world to come. Our sages teach, each and every day give to him from some of his blessings. They relate this to the verse, blessed be Hashem day by day. That verse is thus similarly linked to the present verse. Pasuk 3. Gadol Hashem umuhulo me'od v'ligdulosu ein cheker. Great is Hashem and much acclaimed, and his greatness cannot be fathomed. Having said earlier that he would bless and praise Hashem every day, the singer explains that he is under obligation to do so. For praise of Hashem must be in accordance with his greatness, since great is Hashem and much acclaimed, and his greatness cannot be fathomed. Praise of him must also be without limit. Although he will bless Hashem every day, he will not exhaust his praises, for his greatness cannot be fathomed. It is not within the power of any wisdom to fathom the full reality of Hashem's being. For great is Hashem and much acclaimed beyond all acclamations by man. His greatness cannot be fathomed, hence no man can grasp it. Through much investigation, man must simply praise him within the reach of his intellect. Some interpret these two psukim as a single thing. David said, even if every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever, even if I were to live forever, what shall I give him, what shall I add to him with my praise and my blessing? What need has he of me? Behold, great is Hashem and much acclaimed, and his greatness is so immense it cannot be fathomed. It cannot be grasped through any investigation, but only through faith. Indeed, when we praise him, we only praise him for the might of his works. Hence, King David goes on to say, one generation will laud your works to another generation. Whereas the poet declared, fathom his works, but your hand extend not to him. Another interpretation is based on the following teaching. When the Talmud says that it is forbidden to multiply praise of Hashem, that itself the person has not prefaced his words. But if he said at the outset, who can utter the mighty acts of Hashem, or the like, he may proceed with all expressions of praise. Moreover, the Beis Yosef has written that one may not amplify upon God's attributes, but one may amplify upon the beneficent acts of God. That is what David says here. Great is Hashem, and much acclaimed, and his greatness cannot be fathomed. Following this prefatory proclamation, he goes on to express abundant praise of Hashem and his beneficent actions. The glorious majesty of your splendor, Hashem favors with grace and is merciful, and so on. Pasuk 4. Dor le dor yishabach ma'asecho u'gvurosecho yagidu. One generation will laud your works to another generation and declare your mighty acts. Sometimes Hashem performs miracles in one generation and sometimes in another. And the generation whose day the miracles occurred will give an account of those awesome works of Hashem to the following generation. Thus it says, one generation will laud your works to another generation and declare your mighty acts. Even if people lived very long lives, they would still be unable to grasp everything of his awesome works during their lifetimes. What must they do? Let the departing generation laud everything they beheld of your works to the following generation. When I utter your praises, that is not by my own power alone, for we are incapable of depicting your greatness. Thus we recite in the Shir HaYichud for the first day of the week, you alone know your praise, and none besides you knows your power. None besides you knows the praise that is proper for your glory. In everything he blessed as befits you, according to your holiness, your glory, and your greatness. Thus David says, the glorious majesty of your splendor and your wondrous works will I discuss. I will not do so by my own power, however, but because one generation will laud your works to another, the previous generation related what happened in their day. And I will do the same for the next generation, because they will speak of the might of your awesome acts. I will tell of your greatness. Some things begin in one generation and the next generation. Then the people of the second generation become aware of the greatness of God, and those of the first generation also laud your works. Together the two generations declare your mighty acts. In another sense, each generation makes new discoveries and revelations in the wonders of Hashem, so that every generation tells the next generation what was unknown to the previous generation. A subtle interpretation says, one generation will laud your works to another generation. Every generation makes additions and improvements to Hashem's wondrous works, as when man improves his deeds and the world is improved. Similarly, the singer says, the seed will serve him. It will be told of Hashem to the coming generations. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people yet to be born, that he has done this. Each generation recounts the commendable accomplishments of the past generation. Pasuk 5. Hadar kevod hodecha v'divrei niflosecha sichem. The glorious majesty of your splendor and your wondrous works will I discuss. David says, as it is proper for every generation to give an account to the next generation, I will do the same. The glorious majesty of your splendor refers to those great acts, not in the category of miracles, that God performed. This includes acts such as his own anointment as king and the victory over his enemies. Your wondrous works refers to acts in the category of miracles, such as fire brought down from heaven and the like. Although his greatness cannot be fathomed, we have some knowledge of the wondrous works that he performed for us. These will I discuss. If the glorious majesty of your splendor and your wondrous works will I discuss, I will speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will tell of your greatness. Then in the future as well, they will utter a remembrance of your great goodness and will rejoice in song at your righteousness. For the Almighty will then continue to perform miracles and wonders because of my having established a remembrance to your wondrous works. Pasuk 6. They will speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will tell of your greatness. After I will have spoken to the people of my generation about the glorious majesty of your splendor and your wondrous works will I discuss, they too will tell from one generation to another. The term Rusecha is written here in the plural, but read in the singular. The singer says, from the perspective of the recipient, there are many great things, but in relation to Hashem, they are all a single greatness. Pasuk 7. Zecha Rav Tuvcha Yabiyu Vitzitkoscha Yoraneinu. They will utter a remembrance of your great goodness and will rejoice in song at your righteousness. Your great goodness refers to the natural things, such as the sun and the moon, and your righteousness refers to the things that are renewed daily for every individual in accordance with divine supervision. This is a continuation of the earlier pasuk. One generation will laud your works to another generation. How will it do so? They will utter remembrance of your goodness and will rejoice in song at your righteousness. Alternatively, David says, when I tell them of the might of your awesome acts, they will utter remembrance of your great goodness. your goodness should flow like a welling spring, and in response to your acts of kindness, they will then come to love Hashem. Pasuk 8. Chanun v'rachum Hashem erech apayim gudol chosed. Hashem favors with grace and is merciful, slow to anger, and of great loving kindness. The singer begins to tell a small portion of Hashem's praises, and in the present pasuk he mentions four of his attributes. One, Hashem favors with grace. The term chanun is linked to the word chen, grace. The person upon whom Hashem has bestowed this quality finds favor in the eyes of all who see him, and his petitions are granted. Thus we find in the case of Yosef that Hashem favored him in the sight of the officer of the prison. Two, Hashem is merciful. He shows compassion to those in distress and brings them relief. Hashem is slow to anger. He is forbearing to the wicked. Hashem is of great loving kindness. He bestows kindness upon those who do not in any way deserve it, or who deserve less than what they receive. Hashem favors with grace by meeting the needs of the people. He is merciful by compassionately safeguarding them from the destructions and afflictions of the world. He is slow to anger and of great loving kindness by holding back his anger the wicked, and by bestowing upon human beings more than they are worthy of receiving. The Torah lists three particular attributes as corresponding to the ways that Hashem deals kindly with his creatures. Sometimes Hashem acts out of grace and mercy, yet the people upon whom he bestows his beneficence struggle against it. But Hashem is slow to anger and of great loving kindness, so he holds back his wrath and continues his kindness despite their opposition. The story of Yosef provides a special instance of this. Hashem showed him the dream of the sheaves as a hint that in the future he will sustain his family with wheat. But his brothers fought against him. In the end, however, they beheld the wondrous way that Hashem arranged the circumstances. Our sages teach that Hashem showed Moshe the treasure vaults where the rewards of the deserving are stored. He said to him, "Here's the treasure vault of those who bring up orphans," and so on. He also showed him one particularly huge vault. "To whom is that?" Moshe asked, and Hashem replied, "To the one who has nothing, I give everything for free, as it says, and I will favor with grace him that I will favor with grace." Pasuk is found in Chumishimos. Pasuk 9. Tov Hashem lakol v'racham avakol ma'asav. Hashem is good to all, and his mercies are upon all his works. Having said that Hashem is of great loving kindness, the singer says further, Hashem is good. His goodness and loving kindness envelop everything, not only human beings, but all living creatures. Sinners are included as well. Moreover, his mercies are upon all his works. Since Hashem is good to all, including all species of animals and birds, and his mercies are upon all his works, it is proper for man to walk in his ways. No man may destroy life needlessly unless it is to save himself from harm. Thus we find Rabbi Yehuda, the prince, the Rebbe, known as Rebbe, cautioned his maidservant not to pick up the kittens together with the embers, but to let them dwell in the corner of the house. He said to her, "It's written, his mercies are upon all his works." It happened once when Rabbi Yehuda was taking a stroll that just then a calf was being led to the slaughter. The calf rushed over to him, buried its head in the folds of his cloak, and wept as if to say, "Save me." Rebbe said to the animal, "Go along, for to this were you created." Whereupon they said on high, "Because he is not compassionate, we shall bring afflictions upon him." Subsequently, however, his afflictions left him on account of his good deeds. How was that? One day, when the maidservant was sweeping the house, she also swept up some kittens. "Leave them be," Rebbe said to her. "His mercies are upon all his works." The people said, "Because he was compassionate, they showed him compassion." It says here that Hashem is good to all. It does not say that he does good to all. This conveys that if at times we see harm result from his acts, and this appears to us as evil, the truth is that he is good, and this evil stems from his great mercies. This evil has not been properly perceived, and that is the reason that it seems harmful. Thus our sages teach, no evil thing descends from above. Hashem is good to all. Those who say that his mercies are upon all his works, such people say about everything that happens, this too is for the good. Our sages have said, no calamity comes except because of the wicked, and it does not begin except with the righteous. So it is that too. Hashem is good to all. He holds back his anger at the wicked, because his mercies are upon all his works. He does not want evil to befall the righteous. Said Rabbi Levi, Hashem is good to all. It refers to his deeds. Our sages also teach, his mercies are upon human beings, provided they are compassionate towards one another. In the days of Rabbi Tanhuma, the Jewish people were in need of rain. He proclaimed the fast of 3 days' duration, yet the rain still did not come. My children, he said to them, fill yourselves with compassion for one another, and Hashem will be compassionate to you. There was one man there who gave money to his ex-wife. So Rabbi Tanhuma asked that the man be brought to him. When the man came into his presence, Rabbi Tanhuma raised his face towards heaven and said, Master of the world, here is one upon whom that woman had no claim for sustenance. But he beheld her distress and was filled with compassion for her. All of you it is written that you are merciful and favored with grace. And we are your children, the children of those you tested, children of Avram, Yitzchak and Yaakov. Assuredly you will be filled with compassion for us. Immediately rains came down and the world was eased. The present pasuk may also be clarified by means of a parable. In a certain city there lived a saintly man, a man of great patience who never injured any creature. Once, when out walking, he beheld a criminal striking a man who was totally blameless. As he approached to separate between them, he saw that he had no choice but to use force. He reasoned as follows. If at this time I conduct myself submissively, in the end that man will cause injury to everyone who crosses his path. The Torah says here, Hashem is good to all. If therefore you ask why we see that Hashem punishes the wicked, the answer is, and his mercies are upon all his works. If he would not apply the attribute of stern judgment, there would be no survival for his creatures. The Chachamim have expounded, his mercies are upon all his works. Out of all his own compassion, he bestowed compassion upon his creatures. From his attribute of mercifulness, he apportioned compassion to his works. Pasuk 10. Yadu Hashem kol ma'asecha v'chasidecha yivarchucha. All your works will thank you, O Hashem, and your saintly ones will bless you. Because his mercies are upon all his works, all your works will thank you, O Hashem, for the good that you do for them. Similarly, it says, beasts and all cattle will praise the name of Hashem. When the singer says, all your works, this includes human beings as well as all living things. They are also your saintly ones, human beings who attain the highest plane, the plane above all other planes, namely the plane of saintliness. Another interpretation says, your saintly ones refers to those devout individuals who, because they look deeply, behold your creations anew every moment and bless you. Thus our sages have instituted a bracha for every substance, and they declare, if one desires to be saintly, let him be meticulous about this matter of brachas and blessings, benedictions and blessings. Pasuk 11. Kivod malchuscho yomeru kuroscho yedaberu. They will speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your might. The singer explains the blessing whereby your saintly ones will bless you. Namely, they will speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your might. Hashem, as king, performs great acts of loving kindnesses, and that is to a king's glory, for everyone extols him for that. What is more, they will tell of your might, for a king must be mighty and a man of war in order to protect his country from all enemies. Some explain the singer's words as follows. Everything that I have said until now are words of acknowledgement and praise regarding your works. But how will the saintly ones bless you? They will speak of the glory of your kingdom, that is, they will proclaim you as king over the Jewish people who willingly accept the kingship of Hashem. They will also tell of your might, that is, they will speak of the kingship of Hashem over the nations by force. Pasuk 12. Lahodia livneho adam gvurosav uchavod hadar malchuso. To make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of his kingdom. When your saintly ones will bless you and speak of the glory of your kingdom, it will not be simply among themselves. They will do so publicly to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of his kingdom. Thus his mighty acts corresponds to they will speak of the glory of your kingdom, and the glory of the majesty of his kingdom corresponds to and tells of your might. Another interpretation says they will speak of the glory of your kingdom out of love. A human being reaches this plane by closely examining the greatness of Hashem and the manifestation of his kingship. This also leads one to know awe before Hashem and tell of your might. That is so for your saintly ones. But when one comes to teach people who are not on the level to love Hashem to investigation, first they are taught to fear him. Eventually this leads to the way that results in love for him. That is what it says here. To make known to the sons of men first his mighty acts, only then comes the recognition of the glory of the majesty of his kingdom. Some say they will speak of the glory of your kingdom. All existing creatures in the world attest to your glory and your kingship. Accordingly, our sages have instituted a bracha to affirm that nothing is lacking in this world. There is not a blade of grass below that does not have a supernal agent telling it to grow. Pasuk 13. Malchuscha malchus kol olamim u'mishaltecha b'chol dor v'dor. Your kingdom is a kingdom for all eternities, worlds, and your dominion is throughout every generation. Having spoken of the glory of his kingdom and his might, the singer goes on to say here that these are not temporary attributes. Rather, your kingdom is a kingdom for all eternities, which is a continuation of they will speak of the glory of your kingdom, and your dominion is throughout every generation, which is a continuation of and tell of your might. What is the reason that the Torah speaks here about the glory of your kingdom and about your might? It is to make known to the sons of men who do not know his mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of his kingdom in the realms on high and the realms below. Who will make it known? It will be proclaimed by your saintly ones. It's a pasuk that we already learned. The singer explains here the kingdom and the might spoken of earlier. He says, your kingdom is a kingdom for all worlds. It encompasses all the worlds, both the spiritual realms and the lowly material realms, and your dominion is throughout every generation, which is contrary to Nebuchadnezzar's view that ever since the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, Hashem has removed his supervision from the lowly domain of this world. All the kings whom Hashem established upon the earth had come into being for the sole purpose of promoting submission to the kingship of heaven. The entire essence of any king's reign is thus for the glory of Hashem. As our sages have said, he causes kings to reign, and he is the kingdom. Thus King David testified about himself, all the kings sit in assemblies to honor themselves, while I am occupied with examining the sack and the afterbirth in order to rule whether a wife is permitted to her husband. David was king not in order to glorify himself, but to guide the people in accordance with Torah law. Pasuk 14. Somech Hashem l'chol hanoflim v'zokef l'chol hakfufim. Hashem upholds all the fallen and strengthens all the bowed. The singer speaks about those who have fallen from their high station, and also about those who have always been debased and bowed down. Hashem upholds all the fallen. He returns them to their excellence and strengthens all the bowed by uplifting them. Some say that all the fallen refers to the utterly poor whom Hashem strengthens, as it says, who raises the poor from the dust and lifts up the needy from the dunghill. Another interpretation is that he upholds all the fallen in such a way that afterwards their very posture is strengthened. The singer says, notwithstanding that you are great and much acclaimed, you attend to the lowly, and notwithstanding that your kingdom is a kingdom of all eternities and your dominion is throughout every generation. Hashem upholds all the fallen and strengthens all the bowed, and the eyes of all wait with hope for you, and you give them their food in its time. Our sages have applied the present pasuk to barren wives who are fallen and bowed in their homes. When Hashem grants them sons, they are strengthened. Leah was hated, but then Hashem gave her sons, and she was strengthened. Pasuk 15. Einechol elecha yusaberu v'ato nosein lahem es achlam be'ito. The eyes of all wait with hope for you, and you give them their food in his time. The eyes of all wait with hope for you, as it says similarly, I have hope for your deliverance, O Hashem. Nor is their waiting a remote hope. Rather, you give them to all those who look to you their food in its time. All creatures raise their eyes to heaven, and you give them their food in its time. You give to each its proper food at the proper time. Similarly, it says, they all look to you to give them their food in its time. Although they have no understanding, you provide for them according to their nature. The Zohar says in the name of Eliezer, we have learned that anyone who recites a phrase of David, Psalm 145, three times, is assured to be a son of the world to come. Why three times? For each day Hashem provides food for the world in the morning, the noontime, and the evening. This is also related to the fact that Hashem provides sustenance for both the poor and the rich. A man once came to Ravin, and when asked what he would like to be served for dinner, replied, fattened chicken. You are not afraid of creating sacrity for others? Rav asked. Do I then eat of what is theirs? Said the man. Behold, I earn my livelihood at the hand of Hashem. As we have learned, the eyes of all wait with hope for you, and you give them their food in his time. It does not say in their time, but in his time. This teaches that Hashem grants each one enough of an income in his time. Just then, Rav's sister, who had not seen him for 13 years, arrived. She brought him a fattened chicken and old wine. I can comply with your request, said Rav to the man. Rise to eat. Accordingly, we recite in the grace after meals and the benching, Birchas HaMazon, blessed that we have eaten from what is his. But if one says instead, blessed that we have eaten, that person is an ignoramus. He makes it sound as if he's grateful to the host for having served the food, when actually it's not the host's food, but it's Hashem's food. The distinction expounded in the above between in their time and his or its time is meant to emphasize that Hashem provides the food at the very moment of eating. It's time, the time of eating. Our sages teach, if it is a time of trouble for Jewish people, the Shekhinah is concealed. Then even if one obtains a loaf of bread from the baker every day, the Torah says about that person, and your life will hang in doubt before you. A pasuk is found in Chumash Devarim. But in a time of divine favor, one can trust in Hashem. Thus it says here, the eyes of all wait with hope for you, and you give them their food in its time. Sustenance is provided again and again, every time as needed. Not all at once for a long period of time. The reason is that you open your hand and satisfy every living thing with favor. By will, Hashem gives in a time of favor, not in a time of wrath. This also illustrates to the following teaching of the Zohar. Rabbi Yossi would not prepare his meal until he asked that Hashem provide him with food for that day. He said, we will not prepare the meal until it is given from the king. That is what it says here. The eyes of all wait for you, and you give them their food in its time. A prayer was instituted to this effect, and it is well to recite it, but we then adhere to the custom of our forefather Rabbi Yossi. The letters of Achlam, Aleph, Chof, Lamed, Mem, are the first letters of the words Ki Ein Machzor Li Re'ov, for there is no want for them who fear him. This is a puzzle that we learned already in Tehillim, back in chapter 34. Pasuk 16, chapter 145, Pasuk 16. You open your hand and satisfy every living thing with favor by will. Having said, and you give them their food in its time, the singer explains, that's the previous pasuk, that the food does not come sparingly. You open your hand and satisfy every living thing by will. Whatever the person wants and craves is satisfied. What is more, Hashem imbues living things with the will and the craving to eat, which is something no man can do. You satisfy every living thing by will. Hashem even provides that which the person wants but is ashamed to ask. One wants what is proper and thinks what is proper. Hashem will satisfy his will by fulfilling his thought. If a person is granted blessing from the treasury of good things, his soul is satisfied and he does not ask for more. As the sage has said, the blessing of Hashem, it makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. A pasuk that's found in Mishlei. The person is not saddened that he does not have more. It is otherwise if what one is granted comes from a bad place. Thus the Torah says in Micha, are there yet the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked? You will not find in the house of the wicked man that he should say, I have more than I need, for he has never has enough, as it says in Yeshayahu, moreover the dogs are greedy, they never have enough. Another interpretation is based on the following teaching of our sages. Why does the Torah write, he made everything beautiful in its time? A pasuk that's found in Koheles, this teaches that the Holy One has arranged for each and every person to regard his craft as beautiful. Rashi explains, even the worker in litter, who must endure foul odors, finds his craft comely in his eyes. Hashem has arranged matters that the world should not be deprived of any craft. That is what the singer says here. You open your hand to give every creature its food. What is more, you satisfy every living thing by will. Every person gets satisfaction from his craft, for it is beautiful in his eyes. Some say Hashem prepares for each person what is best in his eyes. He opens his hand and everyone merits to receive in accordance with his preparation. In this fashion, he satisfies every living thing by will. Others say, you satisfy every living thing by will pertains to those who are content with their portion. This is not so for those of expansive hearts who are not satisfied with what they have. When they possess 100, they desire 200. Compare it to a pauper who has no desire to eat. Yet, when facing his host, will he refuse? No, he will say, I have no appetite, so please give me a glass of wine to stir my desire for food. Pasuk 17. Tzadik Hashem b'chol derocha v'chassid b'chol ma'aser. Hashem is righteous in all his ways and loving kind in all his works. The divine attributes include that Hashem is righteous in all his ways. Even when he brings down misfortune upon the righteous man, that is just and upright and is due to some sin on his part. 2. He is loving kind in all his works. Whatever punishment he meets out, it is less than what the sinner deserves. As the Torah says, he has not dealt with us according to our sins. Having said, you open your hand, the singer goes on to say here that to some he gives sparingly and to others more than if is necessary. If you should ask why there's a variety of foods, why the food of one creature is different than the food of another, the answer is Hashem is righteous in all his ways. Hashem created them all, and he knows what's good for them according to their natures. Although we see creatures devouring one another, let us not be perplexed, for Hashem is righteous in all his ways and loving kind in all of his works. He also provides the devoured with sustaining food while they live. When the time comes for them to die, it is decreed whether they will die naturally or as prey. It makes no difference to them how they die. Rabbi Yochanan said, the three keys in the hand of Hashem have not been given over into the hand of an envoy. They are the key to rain, the key to life, conception and birth, and the key to resurrecting the dead. In the land of Israel, this is also said about the key to earning one's livelihood, as inferred from the present pasuk, for rain is related to earning a living. Pasuk 18. Korov Hashem lechol, korov lechol asher yikro uhu v'emes. Hashem is near to all those who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. Pasuk 19. Ritzon yureyov yaseh v'shav osam yishma v'yoshien. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He will also hear their cry and save them. Another divine attribute is that Hashem is near to all those who call upon Him to fulfill their heart's desire. To all who call upon Him in truth, their soul, what they think, and their mouth, what they say, are in agreement. Hashem is near to all those who call upon Him. From any nation, provided they call upon Him in truth, let their mouths and hearts be the same. Some explain, if one actually calls upon Hashem, he is answered even if he does not call upon Him in truth. But if one wants to be answered even before he calls, it is necessary that he call in truth. Others say that the Torah speaks here specifically about the Jewish people, of whom it says, "For what nation is there so great that has Hashem so near to them, as Hashem our God is in all things for which we call upon Him?" Pasuk is found in Chumash Devarim. Here the Torah adds that for this to be so, we must call upon Him in truth, and not merely from the lips outward. To all who call upon Him in truth, we ask for necessities, not luxuries. One who calls for more than what he needs does not call in truth. Because those who fear Him do call upon Him in truth, He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He will also hear their cry and save them from every distress in the world. If affliction does strike them, it is to provide atonement. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. Even if later they withdraw their petition, He will also hear their subsequent cry and save them. Hashem is righteous in all His ways. He loves the tzaddik and warns the righteous not to transgress the commandments. But when He comes to punish, He is loving kind in all His works. He acts towards His creatures with loving kindness and deals with them beyond the measure of stringent judgment. According to the Medrash, David said before Hashem, "When the nations of the world come to pray to You, do not answer their prayer, for they do not come before You with an undivided heart. They first go to their idol, and when their idol does not respond, they come to You in their great distress. Indeed, You do not answer them, as it says, they cried, but there was no one to save, to Hashem, but He did not answer them." A pasuk that's found in Shemuel Beis. First they cried to their idols, and then, when they came to Hashem, He did not answer them. But when the Jewish people call to You, immediately hear our prayers, as it says, "Answer me when I call, O Hashem of my righteousness." That is what the singer says here. Indeed, Hashem is near to all those who call upon Him, including the nations of the world, provided, however, that they call upon Him in truth. This excludes those who first turn to their idols. Hashem will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. Hashem makes of the God-fearing a conduit for bestowing abundant well-being upon the entire house of Israel. Our sages have taught, consider for instance, Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa. Once, while standing in prayer, he was bitten by a wild rat, but he did not interrupt his prayer. They then found the rat lying dead at the mouth of its hole. Our teacher then said to him, "You did not feel anything." He said to them, "I assure you that due to my intense concentration on the prayer, I felt nothing." Said Rabbi Yitzchak, the son of Elazar, "The Almighty had created a spring under the soles of His feet." Pasuk 20, Shomer Hashem es kol uhavav ve'es kol harsho'im yashmi. Hashem preserves all those who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. The Torah clarifies the difference between those who fear Him and those who love Him. Regarding the former, it said earlier, He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He will also hear their cry and save them. Once they are beset by trouble, Hashem will save them. But about those who love Him, it says that Hashem preserves them from ever falling into trouble. As regards the wicked, however, not only will He not save them, but all the wicked He will destroy. Those who love Him means those who serve Him, not for the anticipated reward or because they fear punishment, but out of pure love. That is how all the Jewish people will be in the future. At that time, all the wicked He will destroy. Thus it says in the book of Malachi, "And all the arrogant and all who do wickedly will be stubble." The present pasuk is also explained based on the following teaching of our sacred books. Our prayer for redemption is not accepted because it is not offered with the utmost sincerity and devotion. Yet it helps keep our enemies from destroying us entirely. That is what it says here. He will also hear their cry and save them.